से जा प्रीत लगाए बन जाए वो गुलवा ईश्वर से जा प्रीत लगाए बन जाए वो गुलवा उच्च विचार शुभ कर्मों से उच्च विचार शुभ कर्मों से जग में बनता सबसे महान जग में बनता सबसे महान ईश्वर से जो प्रीत लगाए बन जाए वो गुणवान बन जाए वो गुणवान
ओम शांति. So usually being the last session for the theme and God's powers, it has to be about how to bring whatever we have learned and to sustain it back home when you go back. You know, usually when you go somewhere, you're asked, what is it that you have learned from there? What have you picked up so that you can start, you know, applying it here at home? I think it must have been quite a few years ago. There was one brother coming and taking the course. He requested that he wanted a few days off because he won't be coming for the course, and there is a huge get together. Some Guruji was coming, and then there was his pravachan. So he said it's like a very nice lecture and I would be going there, and you should let me, you know, take these 3 days off. I said, okay, not a problem, you can come back. So he came back after 4 days and he tells me that he thoroughly enjoyed those lectures from that Guruji, and he had a good time, and so on and so forth. And he especially mentioned that whatever the Guruji spoke was so wonderful. I said, can you share some things with me? That what are those aspects that you think that you're going to bring it into your life? What is that that you took it to your heart and you felt, this is exactly what I need in my life? So can you share that with me? He looked at me with a very blank expression and he said, it was not practical, sister, it was good to listen. I said, what is the point of listening if you're not going to, you know, bring it into your practical life? So something becomes practical when you practice it, no? Nothing is practical until unless you do it. Initially when I was coming to Brahma Kumaris, and the first thing I heard about, and I thought it is very weird, I don't think any normal person would do it every day. They said waking up at 4 in the morning and meditating. I said, who in the world does that? Yeah. So as you start doing it, it's a reality. It's something that you can't even imagine that, you know, that anybody could say it's not possible. Why not? I mean, you have it in your mind and you do it. So what are the tools and techniques? What are those practices that you would have to pay attention to so that you're able to, you know, quite a percentage of what you've heard you can get into life. You can go back home and then you see, yeah, it's happening. I think I'm able to bring this into life. Sometimes, you know, I always tell people when they go through the 7 days course that we often offer at centers, and I always tell them it takes another 7 days to forget it. Everything, absolutely. In it. So knowledge is so slippery because there's so much clutter out there. There's so much that interferes in between. You know, sometimes you can actually take a book and you can look at the book, yeah? And you can stare at that book for some time and nothing gets in. Have you felt that sometimes? You know, some book you just want to read and you take it and you're staring at it, the first para, and you can't even move to the second one for a while, that is a sign that there is a lot of clutter. I can't just push everything aside and then concentrate immediately. It doesn't happen like that. So that's exactly why I need to pay attention to certain tools. Can I have the slide? The previous, not this one, no. You skip through this, skip through this, skip through this, skip through this. You can go back? What was that? I missed this slide in the afternoon. So here we are. Can you all see it? Yeah, here we are. So when we are going from what I know to what I have to do, these are the kind of transformations we need to bring about. And in self, you have to increase a lot of self-respect. In the future, optimism. In the past, lot of learning, whatever we've gone through, whatever has happened, lot of learning. Present, lot of ideas. And relations, lot of good wishes. And roles, creativity. So, when we say creativity, what do you understand by creativity? Yeah, what do you understand by creativity? New way of looking at things. Any more thoughts? Yeah, you're right. And using your potential. Okay. Innovative. Any more thoughts? Same things in a different style. Did I tell you about this girl, or did I tell there? I mean, I get confused. Did I tell about this girl who got married and went to Delhi? I didn't? No, okay, I'll tell you. We had a guest from Mumbai, and I remember taking him from Gyan Sarovar, that is on the top of the hill, to down here to Shantivan, and we were coming down, and he was, I think Deepa Ben knows, he was a lyricist, Samir. So he was inquiring about a lot of things that are happening, but then he asked a question. And the question was, sister, can you tell me in one sentence what is meditation? Because I think he doesn't want too much of a lecture on meditation. He just wants one sentence about it. And I started thinking, how do I tell someone in one sentence, first time he wants to know? And I said, do you see these mountains out there? He said, yes, I can see. I said, the way you see it and the way I see it is different. So he said, do you have an eyesight? No. I said, it's not about eyesight. It's about you being a poet and I not being a poet. Because you are a poet, when you see those mountains, you will compare it to strength and determination. He said, oh, you have strength like a mountain. You know, you will probably use that mountain for so many different ways in a very poetic and a very nice, beautiful way. But I am not a poet, so I see only a mountain. So meditation is like poetry, like how you write. It's more like a poetry. He said, how? He said, you will just see the same words, but you play around it and make it beautiful. In the same way, you play around with the situation and make it very beautiful. That it doesn't seem so mundane and boring. You'll start seeing new meaning in it. So he said, no, you give me an example. I don't think I get it. And that is when I told this example. And I repeatedly tell this. This is about this girl who got married and went to Delhi and settled down there. And she was married for 3 months. And she came back to Hyderabad to spend some time with her parents. When she came back, there was somebody else's wedding and there was a festival and somebody was not well. So she's postponing her trip back home, you know, back to her husband's place. So the father got a little panicky and he said, you know, you should be going back now. It's been a while. So she said, oh, no problem. I can always go back next week and then the next week and then the next week. It kept on postponing. So the father said, now look, I'm taking a ticket for you this weekend and you're going and that's about it. So she said, look, I have no problem going, but I don't want to go now. So as the days rolled by, she actually clearly told her father that she doesn't want to go back at all. And she would be very, very happy if her father would get a divorce for her. And the father said, in 3 months you've decided to divorce that person. What's wrong with him? Is he, you know, he's a kind of person who's, you know, he abuses you, he hits you. What is it that he does? So she refuses to disclose it. She says, no, there's no problem. Is there some problem? No problem. I'm not going. They asked the boy. The boy said, you ask her to tell what is my problem. I don't know. Why is she sitting in Hyderabad? Finally, what would the father do? He took her to an astrologer, you know, a psychiatrist, everywhere. And everybody said something is written in her that, you know, for another 6 months there is something going on. She should wear something. I don't know. A lot of things were going on. And then somebody, I think, just advised them, teach her meditation. She will relax. I think she's depressed or something. So they got her to me. And the father and the father's mother and everybody is calling me and telling me, you know, please tell her this and this and that. A whole lot of things that I'm supposed to tell her. And I can understand their apprehension. So as soon as she came and sat down, and before I could say anything, she said, I have 15 minutes. Speak whatever you want. That means to say she's not going to listen. I mean, she has a block and she's just made up her mind. She wants a divorce and that's about it. So, but the father would force her to come to me every day. And I can make out, she's like very reluctantly coming and sitting there, looking everywhere in the room but me. And one day I just said, it is difficult for people to change. I just said that. As soon as I said that, she looked at me and she said, you're right. I said, wow, I hit the target. So, you think it's difficult for people to change? She said, yes. Whom are we talking about? She said, a lot of people. I said, whom are we specifically talking about? She said, my husband. He doesn't change. He does not. Can you tell me which area is he refusing to change? She said, sister. And then she cried and she cried and she cried so much. I felt this man has tortured this girl. And I said, tell me. I won't tell anybody. Tell me. And she says, exactly, you know, the kind of family that I come from is very cultured. My parents have taught me how to eat, how to drink, how to move, how to talk, how to interact. Everything they've taught me. And here I am in this family and this man is basically not cultured at all. In no sense of the word he is cultured. And I said, really, it's not at all cultured. And sister, you should see him eat. I said, yeah, how does he eat? Sister, he eats so bad. The food is never in the plate. It's outside the plate. I mean, he must be eating, like, I don't know how he eats. It's outside the plate. So I cannot watch a man eat like an animal and live with him. I want a divorce. You want to divorce him because of the way he eats? She said, yes. Simple. Go and tell him. Don't eat like that. It's as simple as that. Can't you communicate that? She said, I told him. And he says, from my childhood I'm like this. If my mother has accepted me, who are you? She said, that's where I've come to, that his mother has accepted. So, sister, I can't stay. I said, forget it. I'll give another idea. Put a bigger plate. And said, no, I don't. Sister, you can't expect me to take this big plate to a restaurant, no? He eats the restaurant the same way. The food is outside the plate. So that's difficult. So I told her, there's a medicine for this. It's a nice medicine. You should be able to take it thrice a day for 3 months whenever he's eating. So I said, but it is not a medicine which you take it from your mouth. You have to take it through your mind. So what kind of medicine is this? I said, a thought. Smriti. Whenever he's eating, you stand there and remember God and you think, you know, I'm a mother. You tell God to fill you qualities of being a mother. She said, I'm not a mother. You're not. But when you become a mother, you don't have to go to university to learn how to love, how to care, how to sacrifice. No, you don't have to. No mother has ever gone to university to learn how to be a mother. And so it's a very important role, but still nobody has gone to anywhere to learn. So you can prepone it. It's already there within you. She said, I should prepone it. Yeah, prepone it. The minute you think I'm a mother, those qualities will come. She said, will it work? It will work. 3 times a day,
whenever he's eating for 3 months. Right? Because he's saying his mother could accept him. So, maybe those qualities have to emerge. So she reluctantly agreed and she kept on telling me, 3 months, Didi. 3 months, 3 months, not more than that. You go. So she gone, she went there, the parents were happy. They didn't even bother to find out what the reason was. The only thing was she went back and that's what was mattered. So when she went there, in 1 week time, she called me. She called me and she said, "Sister, it's very easy for you to sit in the ashram and give advices. It is I who's facing this man every day eating like this. I'm not going to sit and watch him like that. I'm coming back to Hyderabad. I cannot." I said, "Look, 3 months medicine, you will never get result in 1 week. Never. You come back after 3 months and we'll talk about it." 3 months over, 6 months over, I don't know how many months are over. I think the next year, during I think some festival time, she came down to Hyderabad. She called and came to meet me the very next day. And I was a little apprehensive. Probably she'll start off the same topic again and discuss about it. So I just made her sit and said, "Is everything okay?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Fantastic. Is your husband okay?" She said, "Okay." "Wow, he's eating okay." "No, but I'm okay." This is what I understand is creativity. Simple as that. Same situation, same thing is going on, but that doesn't really disturb. There was one session where somebody asked a question. "Sister, okay, for her it's fine. Is he still eating like that?" Somebody asked me a question. And if such a question has popped up in somebody's mind, I'd like to answer. Well, he hasn't, I don't know what he's doing now, but at that point of time, she had mentioned that he actually asked her, "What is your way of eating that you keep referring to? I'd like to know." Whether he imbibed it or not, that's another story. I don't know about it. But he actually became open to it. The more you are able to use creativity, it's like you have created such a picture that you're very happy with it. You're actually very happy with it. And the minute you accept it, solution comes. Because when you accept it, somehow something comes up. Like you're taking a thought, "I'm going to be okay." This is a smriti. Smriti is what you're going to practice once you go back home. You're not going to think about what you have to do. You have to think about what you have to be. Right? The more, the kind of thought you take is a thought that you will become. So you should be very careful with what you're thinking. A friend of mine was on the plane which got hijacked in Kandahar during, I think it was in 99. She was an air hostess and she was in the same plane and she got hijacked. So she shared her story with me that at that point of time, the only smriti she would keep is that, you know, "I will be alive. I won't die. I'll be alive." She kept on telling herself that. She said that's the only thing that made her survive. But she also shares another story about this particular person in the flight who got up and challenged a hijacker and said, "Who are you?" Do you ask a hijacker who he is? No. The strength in that particular place practically is to apply here. You should not run anywhere, you should run inside. And be quiet and accept what was going on. Because there's nothing much you can do actually speaking, other than just being quiet and not create disturbance around you. But he was the only one who was killed. There was another gentleman which row my friend was serving. And there's nothing much to serve. A few drinks, Miranda, in those days, you know, those are the ones she was serving. That's what she tells me. But there was this man who told Kalpana, my friend, that, "Look, I have stomach cancer. I need a surgery to be done. And I'm stuck in the plane. And I got terrible stomach pain. And I don't know how to survive and what to do. And I'm having blood vomiting." All that he went on. And she felt very bad. And she communicated to the pilot and the hijackers what to do. So he would go on doing, continuously sitting there. So the pain was very disturbing. In the morning was so disturbing. So the hijacker said, you know, take him out of the plane because it's such a nuisance. So they took him out of the plane and he was sent out. I think it's the second day or something he was sent out. So as soon as she arrived, you know, after the whole 8 days in the plane, when she came back to Hyderabad, she made the first call to that man to find out how he is. Because she saw him practically, you know, going through that pain. So she called him up and said, "Can I speak to Mr. Malhotra?" He was on the phone. Said, "This is me. So are you okay? I mean, are you hospitalized?" He said, "For what?" "I mean, for your stomach cancer." "Who has stomach cancer?" I don't. "Who on earth would like to stay in the plane for 8 days like you?" "I don't want to. So I've come out." "So, sir, you don't have stomach cancer?" "No, not at all. I wanted to be free. That's it." He must have sat there and thought, "I have to be free. I really have to be free. Oh my God, I'm in a hijack plane. Oh my God, what a smriti, you see? Hijack plane. Hijack, what all happened? Hijack planes in the past, those movies or whatever it is there, they die. You know, the smriti triggers an environment, a world and everything that happens with that thought, right? And here is he, this person, sitting there and thinking, "I'm free." Sitting in the hijack plane, he's thinking, "I'm free. I'm going to be free. So now I have stomach cancer." So the minute you know that you're going to be free, ideas come. Creativity. Ideas do come. Ideas won't come just like that. They say, Dadi Janki, you know, she uses a very, there's a company called Mafatlal, I don't know if it's still there, I don't know. But Dadi sometimes says, you know, ye koi mana, when she talks about God, she says, it is not like a Mufatlal company, that you don't keep courage and you want God to help you. Jahan himmat hai, wa madad hai na. Himmat hi nahi. Aur kaho, meko madad karo, meko madad karo. Himmat ka kadam, they say, you take one step of courage and God walks 1,000 feet towards you. So that one step of courage is smriti, awareness that it's okay. Things will be taken care of. So in that sense, if you see, there's a lot of power in the kind of roles that you play, wherever you are. You understand that this is what is the kind of thinking that you need to have and you change it. Immediately, the power to change it comes. But the smriti is what is essential. It's very, very essential. When it comes to relations, it's about good wishes. Do you know how to give good wishes? Have you tried today, in the day? Have you tried? Did you like it? Yeah, it's a fantastic feeling. You should continuously do it, time and time off. Don't be rigid about it. I have to sit and do now. You know, it's not like that. Relax yourself and sit and, you know, give good wishes. Now you see, good wishes is very powerful. You can't, this is again how to practically, you know, change what is around you. With just good wishes, pure good wishes, you can change people. Have you done that? Not good wishes where you think, "Oh my God, this person has to be alright because this person has given me a lot of trouble." No. Whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you are, however you, it's okay, but I want you to do good. I wish you from my heart that I wish that you should be good. Shall we try that now? Yeah, okay. So can I have the slide which is after tools and techniques? Yeah, here we are. Next one. Yeah, here we are. So what you're going to do right now is turn to the person next to you. Can you look at the person next to you again? Yeah, okay. Which side are you seeing? Okay, towards the person you already know. But now just turn to the person you don't know. Try to find a person you don't know. You know, that would be good because you've been sitting with a person you know all through. Try to find. Okay, you found? I hope so. Okay, now what you're going to do is turn to the person next to you and then you're going to give them a good wish. This good wish is from your heart, not from your head, not a season's greeting. Happy New Year and Happy Christmas and things like that. No, it is coming from your heart. So to help you, I have put up some values that you wish for them. It could be love, it could be respect, peace, patience, power or success, whatever, in the area of family, business or health. Okay? Make a sentence which sounds good. That is your first exercise. With your heart, frame a sentence taking one of these values and one of those categories. You can take two values if you want. You can take two categories if you want. I don't mind. But frame a nice, beautiful sentence of a good wish. Do not advise. That's not a good wish. When you advise, it's like, you know, be always respectful with your family. This is not a good wish. This is an instruction. May you always, it should always start with may. And I wish you from my heart that, you know, you experience lot of respect and peace for yourself and from others in your family and in your business. I wish that you will experience always success in your business, and so that you will feel relaxed and calm and have more time for yourself. Something like that. Don't just say, I wish you success in your business. It doesn't sound too good. Does it sound too good? And it doesn't sound at all nice. It didn't come from the heart. It came from the head. So good wish has to be from the heart. Would you do that? You can get up and go sit with anybody around here. So this is not a huge place. Not like Diamond Hall. You have 4,000 people there. You have exclusive groups. So you can just walk around and go and find somebody to sit and give this good wish. First frame the sentence. Go ahead. If it is truly coming from the heart, it will work. I'm telling you, it will work. Don't just, you know, minimize its importance. It works. Did you all wish each other? Is there somebody who did not receive a good wish? Yeah? Nobody? Is there somebody who did not give a good wish? Everybody has. Okay. Did you like it? You spoke it. Right? Now, sitting wherever you are, I'm not going to give you a commentary or anything. I'm just going to leave you on your own. Just take a thought. Just sitting here, just take a thought. That everybody who's sitting here, we're not going to go into the whole world, but just being here. Whoever is here, sitting here in this hall, in this Dadi's meeting hall today at this time is 4:38. They're sitting here. Whatever trauma, trouble or situations they may be going through in whatever area of their life, God, please make it lighter. Make them more calmer. Make them more stronger. That's all I wish. Can you do that? Okay, next step. Did you do it? Okay, you could do it? You didn't have any thoughts distracting you, did they? No, it won't. I'm telling you, it won't. Next step. Shall we wish for all of them in the Diamond Hall? Okay, there are quite a few of them there. Okay, thank you. Do you deeply believe that what you thought actually traveled there? Do you believe in it? It did. If you were to do it continuously, you will feel it. It goes, it reaches. Not just here, but there also. Do you want me to share a story or you want me to go on talking? A story, okay, fine. This is a true story, okay? When I came to Brahma Kumaris, I was going through the 7 days course that we have, and the sister who was taking the course for me, she asked me to give good wishes to everyone, especially my family members. And I found that very easy, and I would do that every day to my mother, my father and my sister. And I felt very nice about myself that I am giving good wish to my family. And then after some days, she said, you should be giving good wishes to people you don't like. I said, why? I mean, I bother my own business and others can mind their own business. Why should we get into people whom we don't like and give them good wishes because I don't expect anything from them? So she asked me, is there anybody that you don't like? I said, yes. There is one particular girl who didn't pick up a friend of mine for an examination purposefully because she wanted her to fail for an exam. You know? So I said, that is unforgivable. So I don't like her. So she said, how was your relationship with her? And we don't talk and she talks bad about me. And so I don't keep quiet and I tell her, she's done such a bad thing to her, you know. So this is going on, it's an ongoing battle kind of a thing of right and wrong. But then somehow when she said, you should give good wish to her, somehow I felt that she's thinking I'm wrong. And I said, do you think good wishes can help in this? She said, yeah, why not? I said, you know, giving good wish to her because she's been so wrong and giving good wish to her is like hugging thorns. She said, hug the thorn. It'll become a flower. It was Nehal Ben. Yeah. So, and I told her, okay, so if that is what is going to happen, let me try and see if it's going to become a flower. I don't know how it's going to turn into a flower. Something which is like a thorn. So I would go on, you know, doing it mechanically. Mechanically. It's like, okay, she's a little soul and okay, she's God's child, fine. Let you be happy and fine. This is how I would do every day. And then finally, I started noticing some changes. It's like I started seeing that if someone were to talk bad about her, I wouldn't like it after a while. I felt that within me. The first sign was that. And I would tell, just forget it. Let's not talk about her. Let's forget. And others would look at her and look at me and say, you know, why not? You know, she's talking such wrong things. Let her talk, you know. It's okay. This is the first sign. The second thing which I noticed after 7 or 8 months was, I started remembering how good she was with me. There were times we spent together, we studied together. You know, all those moments started coming back to me, slowly. And the third thing which I noticed after a year, I didn't mind going up to her and saying hello, which was so difficult for me. You know, I don't think I would have. A lot of people say time actually heals you. It actually makes you stronger in something and it doesn't heal you. So at that point of time, I could just go up and say hello and all my friends would say, why are you saying hello when she doesn't care? She doesn't want to meet you. She doesn't want to talk to you. I said, I feel like saying hello. So I do that. If she ignores, that's her problem. But I'll say hello. This went on for a while. Then finally, I was flying from Hyderabad to Chennai or somewhere. And one of my friends was an air hostess, so I got my plane ticket for that plane so that I could meet her. And she changed her roster to be on that plane. So I was the same person who was in that Kandhar thing. So I was in the plane and she comes to me and she says, Radhika, do you know who's serving in the business class? I said, no. You peep. And I peeped and I could see that girl. She's also an air hostess and so she's serving there in the front. So I said, okay, let her serve. She said, look, because they don't talk to each other. So the ground staff of Indian Airlines, they would make fun when I would go and pick up my friend. So they would make fun and they would say, Radhika, you know, both of your friends, if they're on the plane, it's fire in the air. Because they don't talk to each other and a lot of trouble and they always take a plane where they're not there together. That plane she had to take because I was traveling. So she tells me, she actually whispers to me loudly, don't say hello and don't smile at her. Because she's no good, okay? So don't look at her and don't make a fool out of yourself. So she's advising me continuously and the people next to me, the passengers are wondering who's this air hostess, you know, advising this passenger. And so when we landed, I was thinking, she's watching me from behind. If I smile, I'm going to be in trouble. But how rude it is. If that person is, she is the one who is standing with that namaste. Now if I don't even look at her and acknowledge, it seems very bad, especially because I know her. So as I was coming out, still in struggling with my mind of what to do, that girl came and hugged me. Suddenly she hugged me. I was a little taken aback. And she said, Radhika, how are you? And she pushed me aside. And she was just greeting others, but she's going on telling, can't you wait? Let's talk. I said, no, I need to go. And everything. And I came back home. right? I came back home and the other girl, she called me and she said, you're in touch with her, aren't you? I said, no, I'm not. You are in touch with her. How did she hug you? I said, I don't know why she hugged me. No, she hugged you because you're in touch with her. You're talking to her. You people are meeting. I said, I'm not. No, you are. And I know that. And she was so angry, she banged the phone down on me. When I put on the phone, I sat back and I thought, it's true. It's true what she's saying. I am in touch with her. Not through phone, not by going and meeting her somewhere, but through my mind. I'm continuously communicating to her that things are all right here. Things are totally all right here. You can be comfortable with me anytime. I'm not remembering anything what has happened to you in the past. Forget it. Good wishes work like magic. They work like magic, but consistently you should be doing towards a situation, towards an obstacle, towards a person, towards anything, and somehow things change. Even sometimes, you know, when you cook with good wishes, if you're cooking with such bad feeling, the person who's eating also, he will be happy person eating and they'll get irritated after eating. You know, giving just good wishes. Back in Hyderabad, there's a person and I'm so angry all the time. And this mother, she started cooking with love. Remembering God and cooking with love, you know. And he's so calm and happy and nice now. And I tell him, do you know what did the magic for you? He says, food. He knows it. Food. You know, I know that. Because my wife has been telling me so many times, just with food you changed. Good wishes has power. But then there has to be that deep interest to do it. Like how you did it right now. Simple. And you can never complain and say, oh, my mind was, you know, distracted. My mind went here and there. No, because you have a purpose. You're sitting here with a purpose. I have to give good wishes to people. When the minute it comes to giving, this is a very, very beautiful tool. When the minute you know you have to give, all your capabilities come together when you want to give, because you have plenty. When it comes to taking, there could be a lot of lethargy. I will do, no, okay, I have to change, okay. How about giving? It's fun, isn't it? It's really nice to give. So the minute I told you give to the people around here, your heart went out for everybody. You forgot about yourself, didn't you? Did you think my trauma, my things are also there? No, you never thought. Everybody should be good. When I said, now go there, you went there too. Giving is beautiful. So this is one of the most best tools. I know a couple who would go every day in the morning. I told them, because the kids are like, you might have never seen such enmity between an 8-year-old and a 13-year-old. Brothers. Such enmity. It's like, the older boy would tell me, if I see him, I will kill myself, he'll say. A 13-year-old, so much anger. So I told them, every day in the morning when you wake up to meditate, go into their room and sit there and give good wishes to both of them. Because we might just think that with time it will become okay. With time it can increase also, who knows. So they both the couple will go sit in that room. If the kids would get up, I was telling the Sushant, I said, Sushant, you know what? Your parents meditate in the morning. It's okay when we are sleeping. It would be scary if you wake up both of them sitting there and watching us. This, you know, he says. So they both go in and meditate and things have changed. It took time. It takes time. Don't expect, like, you know, today you do and God is going to help you tomorrow. No, you know, he wants to reach you. If he can reach you in 1 second. But there's so much blocks he has to penetrate through. See, it will take a little while for him. But he will do. But everything in its time. See, I'll tell you. It seems one lady went to a magician. You know what you call a magician? It's called a mantragadu, we saw in Telugu. So this magician, and she told the magician, make a magic potion for my husband, that if he were to drink it, there should be only love and, affection. Because now he's got only anger. So can you make a magic potion for my husband? So he said, I'll make for you. Not a problem, but you should get a whisker of a lion. Where should I get it? And I don't know, go and get it. So she, it seems the outskirts of her village, there is one forest, and there a lion supposed to come there at one point. So she would go every day and watch, and watch and come back home, since one day it really came. So she was very happy. So she kept watching the lion at a distance, from a distance, and go back home. But every day she would take 2 steps forward, look at the lion, go back home. But in 6 months' time, she had taken so many steps forward that she was very close to the lion. The lion got used to the human existence around, and so she went up to the lion, plucked the whisker of the lion. The lion said, "No, take, no problem. It's okay. Whatever you want, that's not a problem." So she took the lion, the whisker of the lion, gave it to the magician. The magician examined it and said, "Yeah, this is the whisker of a lion," and he left it to the air. She said, "What are you doing? 6 months of hard work, and I get it and you throw it into the air? What's your problem?" He said, "Madam, if you could tame a wild animal in 6 months." Two steps at a time. Two steps at a time. And what are those 2 steps? And how to take those 2 steps is something Deepa Ben will take up. Thank you so much.
Om Shanti. Thank you, Radhika Ben. I'm sure you're enjoying her stories. And these 2 little steps which we need to take every day towards our own self, towards people around us, towards the Supreme, is something which we learn through the technique of charging ourselves, empowering ourselves. And we find that many times when we have been interacting with some of you, you have always shared this thought that, "Sister, before we leave, we should learn the technique of meditation." No? That thought is there. And so this tool of charging, of spending that little time to be with myself, to reconnect to the Supreme, to enjoy that connection, to enjoy that experience of being in the company of the Supreme, we find that somewhere this first step which we need to take is to become aware of my own true nature. Till now we have always thought that maybe all these weaknesses which we have seen in our life, which are, you know, maybe the block or barrier because of which we are not able to respond to people and situations always in the right way, we've always identified with them as our nature. So whenever we have thought about ourselves, we have always felt that, well, this aspect needs to change, that aspect needs to change, well, this I can't overcome, that is not really good, I should not be doing this. And so we have somewhere very subtly accepted those very subtle weaknesses as our nature. And that's why the first session I was just sharing that to error is human. So we have accepted that we are human. So, you know, ye sab cheezein to hogi. These small little things will be there. And in our journey of life, we have practiced them so much that they have become part of our, the feeling is that they are part of our nature. And so throughout the day, when we are in the environment of meditation, we are in the environment of like Madhuban, Shantivan, in such a beautiful silent environment where we have lot of vibrations of tapasya, it's more easy for us to remain calm, positive, give good wishes. But when we go back, when we even think about going back into the realistic situation where we are facing this individual who maybe has not responded to us always in a positive way, has behaved somewhere unpleasantly with us, maybe done something or said something which has given us a lot of pain, which we are still holding on. I'm sure you must have now, you know, allowed those feelings to let go. In the morning we had this beautiful session with Prem Bhai. So somewhere at least the journey of letting go has begun. And so we find that whenever we have related to this with those practical situations, we find that we feel that it's not so practical. Because somewhere, very subtly, we have accepted those weaknesses as my nature. But the first step is where we have now experienced the virtues and qualities to be our original nature. We can just see the tree. And so we find at the seed level, you know, our original self has these virtues and qualities. And it's only because slowly and slowly in our journey of life, not only this life but many, many lives, we find that we have started identifying ourselves with our acquired identity. Acquired identity of our name, our roles, our responsibilities, our backgrounds, our belief systems. And slowly and slowly we have started in that journey, subtly acquired those weaknesses, which now are being revealed, you know, by our reactions to situations which we cannot handle or which we cannot cope up. But at the seed level, it's these virtues which are our true nature. Like we say that throughout the day, our body, we surely need food, we surely need some nourishment. So you have these breaks, you have some time for your breakfast, then lunch, then maybe evening tea and then night dinner. But water is something which is always available, you know. Somewhere behind also we have availability of water. So throughout the day maybe we can keep ourselves, you know, without food. But water, important to keep taking some water or the other. Why? And when they have fasts, you know, in Jain, they have this boiled water we keep having. Why is it important? Yes. 80% of our physical body is water. And so what happens? What I physically am, I constantly physically need to nourish, to replenish, to restore. Yes. What I spiritually am, I spiritually need. And so throughout the day we find whenever we are interacting with people, what do we need from them? How would I like people to relate to me? Yes? With love, with good wishes, with respect, with calmness, with sweetness, you know. There is some benefit which we can experience from that relationship. Wherever I am in situations, how do I want situations to happen? How do I want people around me to deal with situations? When I am involved in a situation, how do I want people to respond to me in a situation? With support, you know, cooperation. Because this is what I truly am. What I truly am is what I truly need. So the first step is recognizing that that seed is my true nature. Today what has happened? We have started relating to what? To the acquired self, the tree. So the seed is merged. So these virtues and qualities have become dormant. And it's only when we are in an environment of peace or environment of positivity that we feel these virtues, that they are again stimulated. And when we go back into an environment where there's a little challenge, there's a little stress, there's a little chaos, what happens? Then we are not able to again feel them. Then we again feel, no, as sister was saying, that's not practical, I'll not be able to do it. But once I experience these virtues and qualities as my true nature at the seed level, then we find that that experience is something which we can come back to throughout the day again and again. And that gives us that experience of restoring our virtues, replenishing that energy. And then the other step is connection with the Supreme. So we find that in the morning, we can go up to the slide. And so we find that in the morning, we had the introduction of the Supreme. Yes? What was most important to understand is that now, connection with the Supreme is through my mind and my intellect. Yes? So we find, is it difficult? How far away is the Supreme from us? Yes? Very near. How near? How near? Just a thought away, no? Just a thought. So till now always the relationship was where we have been seeking for support. And somewhere we always experienced him as being the highest, most supreme, lot of respect in his greatness, lot of belief and trust in his greatness. But the relationship was not close. So now we have the introduction today that we are his children. The relationship is so close, you know, the child and a parent. And so we find that connecting with God is through our mind and our intellect. our heart. When our heart gets connected to the Supreme, what happens? When there is this feeling where we experience Him to be our spiritual mother and father, and with that feeling, with that loveful heart, with that pure heart, when we connect to the Supreme, what happens? We enjoy that connection. And so till now we find that maybe we have, because our intellect has been trained, you know, some way or the other, to always be searching from outside, some, or maybe in a form, you know, in a physical form we have been connecting. So we've always felt that maybe it must be something really very, you know, difficult, which we need to learn. But actually it's very, very easy. So meditation is being done regularly also by little children also, who come to the center. And I was just remembering as sister was sharing about this little child who was coming, and parents were coming. So she was, I think, just not more than 4 or 5 years when she had begun. So she was just going to a test, and so she had come in the morning, her dictation test. She must be just junior KG. And so she came to the meditation room and she was going. So I said, Shikha, why are you coming to a meditation? She said, well, I've come to take Baba, that is the Supreme, to my school for my dictation test. I said, but he cannot come and sit there. Because your teacher will not allow him to sit there. He said, no, he can come. No one will know. I'll ask him to sit with me. I said, but what will he do? I said, but he will tell me all the answers and I will go on writing. I said, but Shikha, it's not allowed in the test. No one can tell you. They will not allow. But Didi, you don't know. He will tell me in my mind. He's not going to tell me loudly. But I said, then it's not right. No, he should tell you and you know all the answers. No, I'll tell Baba to sit with every one of my friends and guide all of us so that he can tell me what is the answer and I will just write down. So we find that it's so simple. It's just that beautiful connection from the heart which we have with our pure feelings which we have with the Supreme. And that allows us to experience that energy, experience that charging, experience that replenishment of that virtues and of that faith in the Self. And so we find connecting with the Supreme is that second step which we need to take. And throughout the day, enjoying that connection. So spending that little time every day in the morning, maybe if you begin, maybe like Radhika Ben said, getting up at 4 o'clock would seem a little difficult. But whatever time you are getting up now, you can get up a little bit earlier to that. And that few moments in the day, in the, you know, worldly way also, when maybe throughout the day if there's been something which has not worked, generally they say, oh, what happened? Whose face did I see in the morning? Things have not been working very well. Yes? So we find that what we do in the morning time influences us throughout the day. So spending those moments in the morning, yes? So at present, when we are talking about tools and techniques of transformation, it's actually sitting down and creating an action plan for ourselves. Yes? What I'm going to now do. Because as sister was sharing, people are going to ask you your experience. Yes? And they would like to see that difference also. So when I'm thinking about an action plan, we find that then I try to integrate it into my routine. So morning, how much time could you recreate for yourself? Yes? Yes, you could begin with a little time, 5 or 10 minutes, but then slowly and slowly as you enjoy talking. You know, when you're talking to your friend or talking to someone with whom you have a very good rapport, someone in the family, do you remember the time? Friends, when you're sitting together talking? Do you remember the time? You know? You don't remember the time. The time is already gone. Someone has to tell you, oh, it's been such a long time you have been talking. Sometimes on the phone call also. Yes? And so we find that when we start enjoying that beautiful connection with the Supreme Father and enjoying His experience of His energy, when it becomes a two-way communication, when I start feeling His response, feeling that experience of empowerment, we find that time, it just flies. And so we begin with those few moments in the morning and then throughout the day You know, we have those few moments after our meditation. Then as we begin the journey of our day, we have some few moments of spiritual study. Here, like in the organization, after our meditation course, we have so many people who we have listened to the experiences, like you just listened to Rajgopal Bhai before this, and so many experiences also in the main hall. And we find that there have been people who have integrated this as their way of life. So the morning time with meditation, there is some little bit of spiritual study, which is based on the direct versions of the Supreme. And so those inputs will allow you to nourish the smriti, which sister was talking about. The smriti, or that powerful seat of consciousness which I need to sustain throughout the day towards myself, towards the people whom I'm going to interact, towards the activities which I'm going to do throughout the day. So you'll be playing different roles in the family, then in the work, then maybe you go interact with people in society, maybe you're associated with some organization there, you have some responsibilities there. So throughout the day, the smriti is most important. And so we find that this little nourishment which we have through our daily spiritual study for the smriti allows us then to enhance our quality of response. I'm sure you must have seen the cycle. We'll just show you the cycle. And so we find that as is our smriti, that is our consciousness, so becomes our state of mind. As is my state of mind, so becomes my quality of thoughts, you know, throughout the day which I'm creating. And as is my quality of thoughts, so is my attitude. Attitude towards people, towards situations. As is my attitude, so is my perception, my vision. And as is my vision or perception about the situation, so becomes my response, my action. As is my action, so becomes my, I get a response from the environment, no? That becomes my experience, so becomes my world. And as is my world, it reinforces my original consciousness. In Hindi, it's very, very powerful. Now, there are some Hindi words like smriti, like sanskars, which are so powerful. As is my smriti, so is my state of mind. Jaisi smriti, aisi man ki sthiti. Jaisi man ki sthiti, as is my state of mind, aisi manovritti, vritti, attitude. Jaisi vritti, aisi drishti. So is my vision, my perception, the way I see things. You know, so that little medicine which the sister took, and she was able to see her husband eating with the vision of a mother. And so what happened? There was a lot of acceptance. So my vision towards the same situation now is changed. So we find that as is my attitude, so it influences my perception or vision of the same situation or the same individual. And as is my vision or perception, so is my action, my response, the way I handle, the way I speak, the way I interact. And as I respond, what happens? Accordingly, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So I get that experience from the other side. And that experience then reinforces my original consciousness. So every day we have this spiritual study, which we learn in the center, which is, you know, sent through post and email to all the centers. So every day we have the spiritual study, which we call as the flute of knowledge, Gyan ki Murli. So that actually empowers the wisdom which the soul has to now use throughout the day. The way I have to see and deal with people and situations throughout the day. So that actually then starts, you know, nourishing, or you know, somewhere nurturing that powerful smriti for my whole day. And so we find that that which we receive is actually sent all over the world. The same morning message, the same morning spiritual study is received or experienced throughout the world. So we have about 9,000 centers. Like today, it's the 29th, so the morning spiritual study which was read here, the Murli, the flute of knowledge, and that is the same which is there in all the 9,000 centers. So everywhere we have the students, the brothers and sisters who are living in the family, coming morning or evening, spending that little time to nourish their state of mind, nourish their smriti for the whole day. And so we find that daily nourishment, what happens? As we said, you know, it's not something, the change which can come immediately. Well, today I take the medicine and tomorrow I'm cured. Today I sow the seed and tomorrow there is fruit. Will it happen? No. I sow the seed and then what happens? What do I need to do? Keep nurturing it, keep nurturing it, keep nurturing it. And so we find that here also we find that this spiritual knowledge keeps nurturing it. But we find that as much as the connection with the Supreme is experienced, my mind has that experience of calmness and sweetness. I experience love for the Supreme, that connection from the heart. I experience His support. His powers keep guiding me and helping me, making it very easy. Jahan sneh hai, vahan yog hai. Where there's love, remembrance becomes very easy. Charging becomes very easy. Connection becomes very easy. You find that where there is love, it's difficult to forget. It's difficult to disconnect. Where there is love, is it difficult to connect or difficult to disconnect? It's difficult to disconnect. And so here also, as we start enjoying that relationship with the Supreme, throughout the day spending time talking to Him, developing that very beautiful bond, that relationship. Today we found that we have a lot of respect and regard, but there's a lot of distance which we have kept. Yes? And so we always sing praise of the Supreme Father in different relationships, that you are my mother, you are my father, you are a friend, Tvameva Mata, Pita, Tvameva Bandhu, Tvameva Sakha, Tvameva. But how many of us have actually experienced that naturally throughout the day? Yes? Every time I think about sharing with someone as a mother, I may not always have my physical mother around me, but am I able to connect to the Supreme as a mother? That spiritual mother and experience that sustenance, experience that comfort, experience that total acceptance, that pure unconditional love of the Supreme as my mother. Am I able to experience that relationship of Him as being my father? And at every moment, whenever, even if it would be just a small little decision, I would be able to connect to Him through my intellect, through that loving intellect, and listen to what He would like to say. And allow His guidance to influence every decision. Just like it becomes so easy for us to call up our father or someone, you know, our loved one, to talk and check and maybe share what decision we need to take. And so we find that as much throughout the day, there is this experience of loving connection and sharing, talking through my mind. And so we find that what happens to that relationship? Throughout the day, if I am constantly connecting, talking, sharing, what happens to that relationship? You know, it becomes stronger, bonding becomes more stronger, it becomes very easy to experience this companionship. And then we find that automatically this step allows then His wisdom to guide me through intuition. So that morning time, that is why they say that morning time up to 8 o'clock, you know, one of our doctors who would be meeting you tomorrow, Dr. Satish Gupta, he'll be guiding you a lot of inputs about how this time is very special, because that is a time which influences our subconscious mind, you know. And so whatever we are thinking, whatever inputs, whatever information we are giving to our mind is influencing our subconscious mind, which influences our body throughout the day. So like Dr. Prem Masanbhai was sharing today about how our thoughts and feelings, you know, how does the body respond. Tomorrow also Satish Bhai will guide us to that. And so we find that that time, so up to maybe time till you go to work, you know, about up to 7, 8 o'clock, you spend that little time, 10, 15 minutes also. We also have availability of centers wherever you are. So most of you would have come from invitation, yes, from some center or the other. And so that availability is also there. And you'll find that those people, you know, there are many students who come regularly in that morning time. And even if maybe they're not able to spend an hour, but just a little time. And, you know, take the essence of that daily spiritual study. And then throughout the day, Here also we find that in our main complex here in Shantivana and up also in Madhubat, every hour there is a minute which is removed, you know. Because we are in a program, we are not being accessing that, you know, sound of that little moment of silence which we have. But otherwise, every hour there is just a minute a song is being played for silence. And so what happens, even those brothers and sisters who are in service throughout the day, every hour, that 1 minute, it reminds them. It just reminds them to again connect with themselves, elevate their consciousness, elevate their smriti, nourish and empower their smriti, and connect the Supreme Father. And so what happens, even in the last 1 hour, if there's been something which has disturbed me, you know, some maybe behavior of someone which has affected me, or maybe there's been some situation which was some very unexpected and just took me by surprise and I just got upset, or there's a lot of stress because of that. What happens in that 1 minute of silence? You know, when I take that moment to be with myself, what happens? Yes? Yes, it's like a stop, and then I'm able to again come back to my own inner self. Come back to that center, come back to the eye of the storm. Come back to the hub. Come back to my own innate purity, my innate peace, calmness. And then connect to the Supreme and allow His energy, because even though I am connected to myself, that situation which I've, you know, just faced in that last 1 hour, it has affected me. So it will leave some impact and impression. And so the Supreme will give me that strength to allow that to be cleansed, to allow that impact of those feelings of maybe fear or maybe of pain or sorrow to be released, to be cleansed. And then when I, you know, enter the situation again, what happens? There's a much more fresher perspective. I feel more comfortable. I feel more charged from within. So throughout the day here we have that system. But maybe you cannot really actually stop your activities because you're so involved in that. But it's just a mental availability, just a little attention. And so we find that throughout the day, when you're working also, you can remove maybe 5 or 6 such reminders, little moments of time, little drops of time, as Radhika Ben always shares, yes? You can remove, how many such you can remove in your time of work or maybe in the house also? Throughout the day, how many can you remove? Just a minute like this? Yes? How many? Yes. Something which you need to then sustain. That's very important. We also call this as traffic control here in the organization. And so we have some specific times every hour, but also some specific times where a full song is played. The morning 7 o'clock, then 10:30, then it's at 12, then it's again at 5:30, then at 7:30 and 9:30. And at that time, everyone, whatever activity we are, we try to just withdraw and take that moment with ourselves, connect with the Supreme, check throughout the time which we have spent, which direction has been our quality of thoughts, how much of energy there is, how much of lightness there is, how much I am able to influence the environment around me in a positive way, and then sharing with the Supreme, allowing His energy to refuel me. And so we find that this traffic control, like any other traffic control of the traffic, what happens? It allows me to change. Even if there's been a direction of thought which I recognize is not to adding value to my response to the situation, it's like time which is being wasted. If you remember the call of time, what does the call of time say? That there is no time which I can waste now. Most of our time which is being wasted, it is at the thought level. Yes, because when time is wasted at action level, we are able to change because there's more awareness. But awareness of thoughts is missing. A lot of time is being wasted there. And so this traffic control gives us that awareness. And that awareness becomes the first step for me to be able to check and then change. And so the morning inputs which we have received will give me some powerful thoughts to change. Because what we have learned through meditation is that we cannot actually stop those negative or weak thoughts. We just have to change. We have to allow our mind to move into a different direction. We have to channelize the mind. So then the morning inputs which we have had, we give some one or two powerful thoughts from those inputs to our mind, which allows our mind to move into a much more creative direction towards the same situation, which makes me feel more confident, more strong, which makes me feel towards a person more light, more neutral. Even if I'm not able to become positive, I'm able to take a step back and become neutral. And then slowly, slowly I'm able to go back into a step of positivity towards that individual. So this traffic control is very important. And then in that moment you can also check the quality of your thoughts till up to that time and which direction they are moving, how much you're feeling empowered. And by the end of the day, then before we sleep, again we have some time, yes, and that time we use for, yes, it's like, you know, maybe you're using the computer and then before you wind up, what do you do to the computer? You close all your files, yes. In the same way, you have throughout the day so many things which have happened, so many people you have connected with, so much of information, so much of feedback, so many activities, so many things have happened, so many things you have observed. And so at the end of the day you remove some time to wind up, to close those files. And then after those files have been closed, what do? Surrender that. Because there's been something still throughout the day which I've maybe said or done which I feel I should have not done. Yes? That realization comes. If I hold on to that guilt or if I hold on to that feeling that this is not what I should have done, what will happen? That will not allow me to put my mind to rest. And so I need to surrender it to the Supreme. I need to talk to Him and very lovingly surrender it to Him. And as a loving parent, what He does is just fills us with that acceptance and gives us a very pure positive thought. And then we find that maybe there have been things which people have said to us, things which have happened, which I feel that this should have not happened. You know, that person should have not said that to me. Why did he say this? Or why did she say this? Or why did this happen? Yes? Those feelings also are there. And so we find if I remain with those feelings, the quality of your thoughts just before you sleep will be the same quality of thoughts when you get up in the morning. And automatically it affects your sleep. Tomorrow Satish Bhai will guide you to that also. You know, that quality of sleep of a yogi is very peaceful and calm. Like Girish Bhai was sharing to you, when you see a baby sleeping, yes, you can see that calmness, yes. Because the child is free from any other thought. Just sleeping in the lap of, very comfortable in his lap of his mother or father. And so we find that surrender to the Supreme, where I surrender all those thoughts and allow myself to just sleep in His loving lap of comfort. And so we find that throughout the day, it's most important to integrate this system of charging, remaining connected. Remaining connected to myself, remaining connected to the Supreme, and third is good wishes, which you have experimented now. Very, very important. First, for my family. Second, for people whom I work with, deal with, my friends. And then third, for the world. Important? Yes, the world needs good wishes, needs peace. Yes, very, very important. That's a wonderful contribution which we can give. And so we find that this integration, it's just some thoughts which are there, which maybe you can take, where you can include this. So before you leave, you know, tomorrow you have time, and mostly if you are leaving day after tomorrow, you can sit down for some time, maybe in the meditation room or maybe in the garden somewhere, and sit down and create this little action plan. What few thoughts would you actually integrate in your life, in your quality of your routine throughout the day? Yes? Important? Especially maybe those areas where there are some challenges. Very, very important. to actually sit down and create that plan. We find that that awareness, the magic of being aware of my original nature. Would you just come and just read this? It's a very beautiful thought. Just come and read it.
I am peace. Believe it and you will think it. Think it and you will feel it. Feel it and you will experience it. Experience it and you will know it. And when you know it, you know, longer need to believe it. Simply remember it. Why? Because you are it.
And so we find that there's so much of magic. Maybe these thoughts are very simple. Sometimes, you know, we feel that meditation is so simple. It's just thinking, you know, about your original virtues. It's just talking to God. Is it so simple? But truth is always simple. It's so very magical. And so we find that these little steps which you take, where you actually start, you know, integrating it into your routine, into the way you feel, you think, you deal with situations and people. That's what will create the magic. You always do as you've always done, you'll always get as you've always got. So to get something different, you need to do something different. Yes, but if you always think as you've always thought, you'll always do as you've always done. So to do something different, I need to think differently. That's where meditation and this life of a Rajyogi works. Where I'm constantly guiding my own quality of thoughts and feelings. Not just thoughts, but it's those feelings which are very powerful. Thank you very much. I would just like you to ask some questions, because this would be the last theme session. If you would have questions, Radhikapan, if you can also come. Any question you would like to ask? We would be having other sessions. Tomorrow also we'll be having a panel discussion where you would be able to ask in the main hall. But from the theme sessions which have happened, if you would like to ask any question. Maybe if you'd like to share something. Yes.
As all of us know, the God, He is the greatest one. And He lives in the highest dimension. And we being human beings, we have acquired many weaknesses over many lifetimes, and we are not that pure, though we make efforts. Then is it possible for us to connect directly with Him? We are in one of the lowest dimension and He is there. So how would it be possible?
It's not about how you see it, your relationship with God. But it is about how God is seeing you in His relationship with you. So you, as you mentioned, that He is the highest on high and He is almighty. So He has every power to determine what kind of relationship He would like to have with you. And He sees you as His child. And no father would like to see their child as being downtrodden or as of no use. No, He doesn't see you like that. So that shouldn't be a problem to connect to Him, because He is reaching out, no? Isn't it? He is reaching out. He is the Almighty and He is reaching out. So it is our humility and our own self-respect that we would, you know, outstretch our hand and say, yes, I would like to connect to you and take power from you. So it is not our thought of whether I am capable or not. He is saying that you are capable. So we can't question God.
He is the greatest, but then He is our father and mother, no? I mean, today also in the world, like any other person who has a lot of position or maybe power, it could be the president or prime minister, but the child at home would call him or relate to him as a father. He just recognized that his father is the president or is the prime minister or has some position, but for him he is still the father. So in the same way, we find that when we communicate to the Supreme, yes, we know He is great, we know He is the ocean of love, we know He is the ocean of power, but He is our Father. And so when we experience that loving relationship with Him, we have complete right over experiencing His companionship, experiencing His energy. And that energy then fills in the gaps which we are experiencing in the present. Yeah. That is there. This relationship is so beautiful that, you know, it just needs to begin. I remember the story of the sun god, you know, in the pyramids. And it's said to be that the sun god, he had once, he had this child who was very interested to go on earth and have a journey. And the sun god said, well, okay child, you can go on earth and you can explore and have a good experience. But whenever you want to come back, it was just a story. So whenever you want to come back, you can please remember me. And I will guide you. And so the child moves, you know, in his journey to earth, and he's so excited by so many of his experiences and all that. But along the journey, slowly and slowly, he is disconnected from his own purity and divinity which is there within. And then he comes to a time where he starts experiencing some pain, sorrow, and that's the time when he again remembers his father, the sun god. And then he tries to seek out to connect. But he finds that, well, he knew the path to come, but he doesn't know the path to go back. And so he has this conversation with the father and says, Father, I know I need to come back to you, but I don't know how. And the father in the story says, the sun god, the father says, okay child, don't worry. You come up till where you can. The rest of the path, I will come and take you. And that's what happens in meditation. We just need to move with that faith in the self, with that love for the Supreme, that self-respect. We just need to take that first step. Rest of the journey, he comes. He touches us. He connects. You would like to share some thoughts also? Please come over. Some thought or some experience of these 2 days. If you would like to share something also, please.
So, I think on behalf of all the participants, we all want to offer our thanks and gratitude to the whole organization for making such comfortable arrangements on the physical way also. And spiritually, obviously, we have been nourished since morning till evening. And may the Almighty grants us the strength to continue our endeavors in fulfillment of our spiritual journey. Thank you.
You're part of the family now, so the gratitude is experienced by all of us because we are part of a family now, no? The Supreme Father has brought you now here, and so He's going to work through you.
The area of the faith is very important in this all spirituality, as we know. So how we, build upon that part, the faith part, because unless that is there, I think the connection will be always distortions or the difficulties. The faith part has little hints in that.
So the question is?
How we build the faith, because unless the faith is there, the...
See, as I was mentioning in the morning, the more you know, the more you start knowing God, faith is an automatic result. We do not focus on how to develop faith. We focus on how to know God much more better and love Him. And automatically faith develops. You know, faith is something from the heart, and anything from the heart cannot have a lot of hard work. With your head, yeah, you need to analyze and you have to think. But anything to do with God, you can't use a lot of analysis and intellectualize it and use logic. It doesn't work because it's got nothing to do with it. Yeah, if you have to connect to God, it's from the heart. That's about it.
Yes, thank you very much for the time. We will be having a session. Sister will just guide you to the session.
Om Shanti. So this is the concluding session of theme session. Okay, so what is the call of time? What? Don't waste time. Transform yourself. Okay? And so beautifully, like meditation part is still, it will be covered. But meditate, become aware of the Supreme. And meditation does help because the God's power is acting with you. I'm saying this, sisters have explained, but each and every word, 100% it works. I can say this because I have experienced this. In last 2 years through Raj Yoga, I have experienced each and everything. Although Radhika sister has told you in form of stories, but I have experienced it. Letting go and good wishes. it does work. Because once I'm just sharing my experience there. Because I started meditating, but things started working when one day I sat and let go all the things which I hold, especially those people who I felt had done wrong with me. I sat and all deleted all the files. It was not easy, but gradually, and then I became very light. Secondly, the sister which she had quoted that example, giving good wishes. Even now, I can easily feel the difference. Simply by giving good wishes to somebody, the person changes automatically. This works. I'm experiencing it thoroughly, and even if sometime I experience sorrow or some negativity, I sit, meditate, and I correct myself because I have gone somewhere wrong. Again, letting go and good wishes. It works. It works and it makes you lighter. It makes you happy. That happiness quotient becomes constant. So, go ahead with meditation and experience. This life is wonderful. Rajyog is wonderful. So, all the best. And I especially thank Deepa sister and Radhika sister for this wonderful session. In fact, all the four sessions were very wonderful. So, shall we use our hands? Thank you. And thanks to all of you.